Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Game, Develop, Repeat. I'm your host, Chris, and in today's episode, we are talking all about Stardew Valley and how it can be used as a metaphor for game development. The planning of your game, the whole life cycle of working on your game, overdoing things, underdoing things, exploring, connecting with community. There's just so many ways I want to use this game as a metaphor, and we're going to dive into it and hopefully I'll be able to hit most of them, if not all of them. I know I've already talked about this game once before, but we are hitting it from a very different angle today. Without further ado, let's just get started. I think most of my listeners are probably familiar with Stardew Valley, but just in case you're not, I'm going to catch you up very, very quickly. It is a farming game in which you connect with a community and build up your own farm, plant seeds, harvest seeds, go into some mines, fight some things, gather some resources, chop down trees, go fishing, all that good stuff. It's kind of in the same vein as Animal Crossing or Harvest Moon, sometimes also compared to things like Rune Factory. It's in that whole genre, right? So why are we talking about Stardew Valley? Well, I want to connect it to the process of developing a game. So Stardew Valley has this very specific life cycle. You start the game, you're cleaning up the farm, okay? You start the game, there's wood, there's stone, there's all this stuff in the way of you making crops. One of the first things you do is you just clean out a patch of the farm so that it's something you can actually work with, right? Everything's beaten down and rotten and kind of destroyed and overgrown and messy, and you're shocked when you show up. Okay, cool. Clean it up a little bit. That's the first part of developing a game. That is the part that I think gets ignored, right? Everybody's out here just trying to put their farm in between all the weeds when you start developing a game. Everybody's out here like, okay, let me just start. Let me just put this into my life. Let me just shove a giant game development project into my already extremely busy schedule. It's fine. I can just fit it in between all of these other things. You have to make a space for it. And maybe you can fit it between those things, but you're going to need to put some fences in specific spots. You are going to need to get rid of something, right? Like maybe you can't clear out all the rocks. Like there are stones at the beginning of Stardew that you can't quite get rid of yet because your pickaxe isn't strong enough, right? It's like, okay, cool, fine, can't deal with that yet. I'm going to work around it. But when you first start, you're cleaning up the area and you're planting some seeds where they are safe and you're keeping them safe and then you're maintaining them. You've got that initial project that you're starting and you're starting small. You're like, okay, I've got a little... I'm planting like 24 seeds because I gotta water all of these manually and it takes a lot of effort every day. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new to this. It takes a lot of energy, just like in Stardew. Planting them, digging up the dirt, all this stuff. When you first start, it's like, whoa, that's a lot of energy. I don't have good ways to bring my energy back. It's a lot. And then you go, okay, well, now I'm pretty low on energy. What am I going to do? You go about the town. You do things that don't use up any of your energy. Or you go to sleep, right? And then you have to maintain all these seeds that you've planted throughout the beginning of the game. You got to water them every day. That takes energy, but not as much energy, just like game development. If you have set yourself up properly from the beginning, you're not going to be dying every time that you go out to water your plants, right? You've got this whole thing set up. You've got this little chunk of your life. You've got a little window carved out and you go, okay, this is exactly when I can just go. I water my plants. We're done, right? I go, I work on my game. We're done. I have a plan. This is when it happens. And then sometimes those plants are finished and you have to harvest them and you go, what do I do next? What do I put here next? That's an easy spot to get stuck in game development and in Stardew Valley. You go and you go, wait, do I have enough time for this? You check the calendar. You do all this stuff. You go, oh, man, do I want to put down fertilizer first? How many of these do I want to plant? Do I want to plant more while I'm at it? Like, how much energy has this been taking? Can I go clear these things out? What's going to be in my way? All that good stuff. So then you go and you do that. I think that's the part that catches me off guard, by the way. Whenever, you know, one thing is kind of finished and then I need to go to another one, I don't always have a plan ready. And I go, oh, I wasn't expecting that to be done, right? Because I'm still getting used to, like, how long it takes for something to be finished. And then once it's finished, I go, oh, wait, what? Huh? Oh, that's ready? Okay. And then one other connection I want to make between just the farming element of Stardew is if you plant too much stuff right at the beginning, have you done this? I don't know if y'all have played Stardew, but have you done this thing where you're like, oh, I can plant this much. Like, technically, I can plant this much. I have this much energy. I can eat this between each day, and then I'll have enough, and then I can plant and whatever. And suddenly, when you play this game, all you are doing is waking up, watering every single plant, going back to bed. Waking up, watering every single plant, going back to bed. And then somebody gives you a quest, and you're like, I wish I could do that, but I have to wake up, water every single plant, and then go back to bed for the next 14 days. And then by the time that I get around to that quest, I don't know where to get the thing they're looking for. And then, oh, that season ended, and now I can't get that thing. I have to wait a full year to do that because I was so committed to watering all these plants. Technically, you could just not water some of the plants and let them die, or you could just get rid of them. I'm not the kind of person to do that. Sometimes I overcommit to it. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm gonna finish these plants. It's fine. I'm gonna get it done. They're all gonna be finished, and then it'll be good. And then there's consequences for way too long, when really it's just like, okay, sacrifice 8 of these pumpkins that you're trying to grow. It's fine. Just stop. Just don't grow as many pumpkins, and it won't take as long, right? It's okay. Yeah, so that's the planting part of the Stardew life cycle, right? But while you're doing this, if you're not overplanted, then you go, you water, it takes like 25% of your energy, right? And then you go about your day and you do other stuff. Maybe you go fishing and that takes some energy. Maybe you go mining and that takes some energy. You have a nice variety. You go, you talk to the townspeople, you give them some gifts, you connect with people, you absorb the lore of the game, you live life, right? It's not all about grinding and watering these plants. It can't just be a permanent, nonstop grind, right? That's the general outline. These are the things that I'm thinking of when I'm talking about the connections between Stardew Valley and game development. There's a lot more to it, right? There's like a lot of angles to this and a lot of weird, like even more bizarre metaphors that I could go after, but this is the general framework of like the things we're talking about here for this specific game. So now we're going to talk about the development side of things more directly. So we're not going to connect it to the game as much, but I want you to keep this stuff in the back of your head of like, how can I connect this? Or if you've got a game that you're thinking of, this stuff might connect back to that game in some other weird way. Like, you can make a metaphor about almost anything. You just got to get a little creative with it. Let's get after that. Let's get started on that. One of the first lessons that comes to mind for me here is about planning. The first time I played Stardew, I didn't really have a plan. I kind of, you know, you develop a plan as you're going through the game, but you don't start the game with a plan, right? You go in and you go, oh, this is what it is. I got to deal with this. And then you start figuring it out and you navigate. You chop up some weeds, you smash through some rocks, all that good stuff. You figure it out. You figure it out, you go buy the right seeds, you start making some money, whatever. In the same way, when you start making a game, you don't have to go into it with a big plan. I think it's really easy to go, oh, it's going to be hard, so I need to know exactly what I'm doing. Yeah, you kind of just need to dip your toe in. You kind of just need to jump in there a little bit and start figuring it out so that you can plan. You can't plan where everything is going for like a wedding. Let's say you're setting up a wedding and you need to know where to put the tables and the chairs and all this stuff. If you don't even have a floor plan, you can't do it. And once you have a floor plan, like, okay, great, now you can start to figure it out. But it's way easier if you're in the space. If you can look at the space and you can go, okay, this needs to go here, that'll fit there, this will go here, and then people will be able to walk here, and that'll look good, that'll look bad, so on and so on. And you go, oh, that's there, that wasn't on the floor plan, right? There's stuff that you can manage, right? Much easier if you're there. In the same way with game development, don't plan it. I mean, okay, hold on. Well, that's not 100%. Don't plan everything for your first project. Don't plan everything your first project. Next season, you're going to know some stuff. You're going to know some stuff about your farm, so to speak. You're going to know some stuff about the seeds. Well, not for the second season, second year, sure. But you're going to know some stuff about the tools that you're working with and your level of energy and how much you can get done in a day and what you want to explore and all this stuff. Then you can plan a little. Then you can start planning a little, right? You don't have to go wild mapping out everything from day one. It's okay. If you love doing that and it doesn't stop you from being productive, great. Get after it. Do some planning, right? Do some research before, all that good stuff. It's good to, you know, doing a little bit of research is good. Sure. But, you know, start playing the game. Start getting in there. Start working on it early on. That's the biggest, that's like the standout lesson for me is like, yeah, it's kind of a game, you know, game development is kind of a game and you go in there and you start learning the skills and then you can, as you learn the skills, you can start worrying about the meta, you know, you can start really worrying about the deeper levels of stuff and you can start going further and figuring out what exactly you want to grow on your farm, so to speak, what balance you want to have between farming and fishing. If you know me, you probably think that I plant two crops and then I fish for the entire season. And you're not entirely wrong, but I do plant more than that. I get the sprinklers. I do the whole mine diving. I get all the iridium, all that stuff, right? I don't only fish in Stardew, although it would seem like the kind of thing I would do. That fishing minigame is top tier. Anyway, patience and consistency. I think these are pretty straightforward, but I just want to touch on them. You got to have both. You gotta have patience in game development. Holy cow. It just takes time. But if you're excited about what you're doing and you're doing interesting thing, then it's fine. As long as you're doing things to keep you engaged, it's not the kind of patience where you're just staring at paint drying. It's the kind of patience where you're like, okay, I'll get there by the end of this. It's just a long marathon, but I'm active the whole time and I'm listening to good music and we're going, we're running this marathon. It's taken a long time, but it's okay because I'm enjoying the process. And then consistency, you're not doing sprints. You don't do a marathon by doing sprints, right? You don't play Stardew by taking one day to plant all your seeds, one day to water them, and then the next day you just chop trees and you just don't water your plants, right? You're going to make progress if you're a little more consistent, right? You're going to have good steady progress by having some consistency. And then maybe one day it rains and all your plants take care of themselves and you're like, "Oh, great, I don't have to put anything in on that," right? Cool. And then energy stuff in general, just energy. This is another point here. How do I phrase this? We don't want to destroy ourselves making games. We don't want to be passing out every day and just dying, you know? You want to make things manageable. You want to do what you're able to do. And I think maybe the biggest lesson here is not even actually about the energy management, but about the fact that as you get better and better at what you were doing, you can do more and more with the same amount of energy. That's so essential, and I think it's applicable. I know I'm like pulling lessons from video games and putting them into real life because I'm weird and I like doing that, but I just, it's because video games are based on real life, so there's a lot of like a cross-contamination here. You can do more with the same amount of energy when you get better at something. You just can, because some of the stuff doesn't take as much effort. You're just like, oh, that's already done. That's already taken care of. I've automated that. Or you're like, I have a better tool for that, so I can do 9 of this at one time. You don't have to build up a giant reservoir of energy. You'll get some more energy from this, that, or the other, right? But like, some of it is just learning the thing, right? You're not always going to be watering one plant at a time. I think this is the message I really want to get across with this part. You're not always going to be watering one plant at a time. Eventually, you're going to be watering 5 or 9 or more at a time with the same amount of energy, right? If right now you're making a game and you're like, how am I ever going to get through this? This is so, so slow and hard. This is difficult. This is frustrating. This feels impossible. Just do a little bit of it, get a little better, and a week from now, it will be just pretty hard. And then a month from now, it'll be like, this is moderately difficult. And a year from now, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'll just do that. That's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm on it. That's how it works. And then you can focus your energy on other things, right? And then the most underrated part of game development, which is maybe the most important in my mind, and the thing that I want to spend more time focusing on, and actually, I literally want to move across the country so that I can work on this particular attribute of game development more. And it does connect to Stardew Valley, of course. Community. Community is so important. I would like to be living in a major game development city so that I can connect with other indie game developers and other developers in general, because the stuff that you can learn and the amount of inspiration that you can get and the amount of connection and just motivation and just the whole thing, it's all about community. Connecting with other people is beautiful. It's inspiring. It's exciting. It's a great, great thing. And for some people, it's not going to matter at all. I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge that. For some people, they're going to be like, oh, what are you doing? I'm not worried about it. I've got community in this way. I don't need to be connected to game dev community, whatever. I've got my family, right? I've got my friends. I've got this way that I take care of my social needs. Okay, cool. Great. I really want to be connected to indie game devs. I want to be in with other people who are creating things. Or maybe I can just connect with music people more. I want to be in a creative community, right? That's super important to me. And in Stardew, you are just in little ways connecting to this community all the time. You're connecting to people. You're giving them gifts randomly for absolutely no reason. All right, maybe that's not the move, right? But it is, in my mind, it's a game about connecting with people through what you can provide to the community, which is why I hate JoJamart so much. They're a representation of all that is wrong with the world. And if you disagree with me, fine. I was going to be all exaggerated or that. I've never even played the JoJamart side of things because I hate it so much. Okay, but the interesting, exciting element of like, oh, what does this person need? I'm going to help them with that. I'm going to provide them with that. And then you go to your mailbox and somebody sent you a potato because they're trying to be helpful. And you're like, you know what? Thanks. Thanks for the potato. I'm a farmer. I just grew a ton of these, but thanks. And you're like, oh, hey, thanks for the 12 rocks. And sometimes it's exactly what you need, actually. Sometimes that one potato is like, oh, thank God, I don't have to grow a potato. This quest is due in a day and I don't have time to grow a potato, so I can just give them this potato. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent. The community element of game development, I think is so important and so easy to ignore. Connecting with other people, getting like sharing ideas and like sharing like what you've been working on and getting input from other people, where somebody's just like, oh, the UI on this is a little weird. And you're like, oh, what do you mean? And they mention it. And you're like, oh my God, you're right. I don't know how I didn't see that. Right? Getting feedback from others and helping other people with their projects. If that's not inspiring, I don't know what is. Nothing is more exciting than being able to be like, oh, what if you did this? And then the other person goes, oh my God, that's a great idea. And then you get to like, they work on their thing and then you just get to see what happens. You don't have to work on it. You get like, they're excited about your idea. You don't have to do anything. And then you come around next time and they're like, hey, look at what I did. And you're like, oh my God, you did such a cool thing. And like, I got to contribute to it in this in the tiniest way. And I get to see that payoff. That's the smallest amount of effort for the greatest payoff. The other person's putting in all the effort and you get to see the cool stuff and their excitement, right? And they're like spreading that joy to you. And then sometimes they talk to you and they give you some cool idea and you're like, oh my God. And then you're so excited. You go work on the thing and you can't wait to show them. You're like, I can't wait to show this to Linus because we're going to use Stardew names. And then you show it to Linus and he's like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is such a cool thing. And you're like, oh, right, thanks. And then you get talking and you got a new idea and you go work on it. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful, right? So I think that's underrated and I think it's easy to ignore. And I want to grow that element of my own development. But Stardew has that as a theme. And so I'm shoehorning that into this. And then process. The overall process of making a game is reflected in the process of farming something, right? It's like that puts it all together. If you just look at the big picture of it, you go, okay, at the start, I got to do this. And then let me just put it all together right now. At the start, you're just clearing it out. You're just making space. And then you start trying things. And then you start being able to develop a plan. And then you're like maintaining and being consistent and all this stuff. And then you get a little payoff. And you show that to somebody in the community who really wanted a potato. And you grew a potato. And you're like, hey, here's a potato. And they're like, oh my God, I love you. Let's get married. And Stardew is a little weird with that. But all right, fair enough. And then sometimes you're overdoing it. Sometimes you have a day off because it's raining and you don't have to water your potatoes and you get to explore the mines. And oh, by the way, never go underground when it's raining because you'll just drown. I did some caving when I was in college. Don't go into a cave in the rain. You will drown. Caves just fill with water when it's raining, even a tiny bit of rain. If one person out there wants to go caving one day, just know this. Also, caving is really dangerous for a lot of reasons. Don't go in a cave in the rain. It's a bad idea. So, points from Stardew for accuracy on that one. No, not actually. But that was a wild tangent. My point is, you can look at the big picture of Stardew and you can kind of look at the process and everything and go, okay, this is kind of like game development. This is fun. And you can pull hard moments from your own game development. You can connect it back to Stardew and be like, oh, okay, what am I doing wrong here? I planted too many plants. I just, there's too much land that I'm trying to take care of right now. And I don't need 200 potatoes. I only need 150 potatoes and that's fine. So we can just pull back a little bit, right? Because next season, I'll be ready to plant 300 potatoes. I'll have the tools. And I just have to trust that I will get those tools in time. Now, quick conversation about my own development. You may remember from last week that I was giving myself some rest. I was giving myself a break day. I was going, okay, your boy needs time. I need time to breathe. Well, I took a rest and it immediately turned into a full burnout. I was like, okay, I'm going to take a day off. And then my body was like, oh my God, we finally get to rest. And it was like, I'm out. I'm done. You're not doing anything. We're done. You're taking a break. I'm knocking you out. nothing. You're not doing crap. And then every day I was like, can I work yet? And then my body was like, no, nope, nope, not yet. And then, and my mind too. And I was like, how about now? I'm going to just try working for 30 minutes. It's like, all right, you can try. And then I got like 30, 40 minutes in. And then I was like, but I'm going to just keep yelling at you to stop. I was like, okay, fine, I'm done. And after a few days of that, I got to a day where I was like, okay, I'm gonna try again. I was like, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and try, bud. And I got up. I started working on it. And I was like, oh, no, I'm nailing it. This is perfect. This is great. I'm getting a ton done. Right? I was just like, oh, I've just connected all my old mini games back to one coherent project. And I've done this and that and the other. And part of the reason why I kept getting stuck is that I just kept insisting on staying on the art side of things. I was like, I am going to keep working on this pixel art, come hell or high water. I'm not backing down. I'm only working on this pixel art stuff. I just needed to go back to code for a day, and I did, and it was great. And then I had too much stuff planned the next day, so basically I got almost nothing done this week. Basically what I got done was I connected a ton of mini games into one bigger project, and then I threw some menus on it, and now I have the skeleton for my game. So I didn't get a lot done, but what I got done was really important. I have the skeleton for my game. There's still some stuff to flesh out that skeleton, actually. There's still some like connective tissue and stuff. But I guess that's not the skeleton, is it? There's like scenes that I need to make that are like reusable, right? Because there's going to be a bunch of text. I need to figure out a way to make the text like easy to replace and like track and save systems and all that stuff. But that's for later. That's not for right now. I think part of it was just focusing on pixel art too much and not letting myself explore the other aspects of my game design and development and all that. And that made it a lot easier to just burn out hard and not do anything. So yeah, I've been struggling with, since then, I've just been overinterpreting now. I think I'm just overthinking this, but I've been like, I kind of tend to struggle with resting as opposed to just fully burning out and collapsing. I think a lot of the times when I try to rest, I end up collapsing because I'm like, I've been doing too much and I just need to stop. And then I just can't, like, I can't be genuinely productive and I just have a full burnout, right? And I was thinking about this and I was thinking about it as like a, almost like a forest, like the life cycle of a forest where there's just like a certain point, you get a wildfire, everything goes crazy. It's intense. It's, I guess that's me working like crazy. And then it all collapses and then the ashes build up a new forest, right? I feel like I do like a version of that a lot. And I would much rather just rest. I would much rather just rest occasionally. And I'm trying to figure out if this is something I can do something about or if it's just like a part of how I work that I need to incorporate into the structure of my work, right? I don't know. I think that's something to think about, but also I might just be overthinking it and like maybe I should have just pivoted to it. I don't know. It's really hard to like gather data about my own mind because it's my mind doing the data gathering and that's not particularly trustworthy. Because like how your eyes can't see themselves, right? They can only see what they see. It's that whole thing. So like, how is my mind supposed to, anyway, I'm going on a whole thing that's really kind of ridiculous. Point I'm trying to make is I need to experiment with different work cycles, right? Like maybe I can try an intentional heavy push followed by burnout, followed by heavy push, followed by burnout kind of thing where it's like, I don't know, like 3 days super, super hard and then like 2 days off. And then 3 days super hard, 2 days off, that kind of thing. Or I could try a cycle that's much more consistent and steady where it's just like every single day, certain amount, whatever, and then 1 day off. I don't know. It's worth experimenting with. I got to think about it. It's kind of odd. Do you guys have a weird rest cycle? Is that just a me thing? I don't think that's just a me thing. I think other people probably have this where they have a weird cycle of how much they're able to rest and when they're able to rest. I have a whole lot of stuff written down here that I wanted to talk about within like my own game dev process. I have stuff about like, you know what? I'm just going to summarize a couple points that I think are important. I was going to talk about negativity spirals. The short version of it is they're lies and the reality is not as negative as you think it is. Whenever you hit a negativity spiral, it's not true. It's a trick because it's really easy to be negative. Here's what I wrote down to myself. Here it is. Negativity spirals are easy to execute, but hard to endure, whereas positive spirals are hard to execute, but easy to endure. If you can start a positive spiral, once it gets going, it's easy to be in it. I'm not going to say it's easy to keep it going, because after a certain point, I think sometimes it can get a little stuck, but I think for the most part, it's easy to be in it, so then keeping it going isn't as hard because you're enjoying being in it. Being in a negative spiral, it's really easy to execute. It's really easy to keep it going, but it's so miserable to be in it, right? It's really hard to be there. It's a really uncomfortable place to be, but it's so easy to keep doing it. It's so easy to execute on. Negativity spiral is the easiest thing in the world to keep going by just executing over and over. But God, it's miserable. And that's what makes you go, okay, I'm not going to keep this going. And I have two other points that I want to talk about within my own development. One idea was there's a difference between believing in yourself and believing in your accomplishments or your potential. Right? Like there's like believing in some goal that you're going to reach, or there's like believing that you have some magical heroic potential or whatever. Like, okay. Or you can just believe that you're able to navigate this stuff and that you can keep moving forward. And that's what I'm trying to aim at. I'm trying to aim at believing that I can keep making stuff. I can keep making really cool things that other people are going to enjoy, and I can help show people that we're all capable of cool things, right? I can do that, or I can go into a negativity spiral, right? And I can just collapse and fall to pieces. You know what? I'm going to pass on that. And I'm going to instead build myself up. And not by looking at the future and going, oh, one day I'm going to accomplish that and then I'm going to be great. That's like the opposite of believing in yourself. That's like believing that you only have value in what you accomplish, right? Like, that's nonsense. You are going to be able to navigate everything in your life regardless of what you accomplish. You're going to figure it out. I think that's core. Like, regardless of the situation that you end up in, you're going to be able to do something positive. You're going to be able to contribute, and you're going to be able to figure out a life for yourself that you are relatively content with. That's what I'm trying to build a belief in. And I'm not saying that I believe that all the time, because I don't. But I'm trying to believe that. And I'm trying to believe that I can always have an impact, a positive impact on other people. And this is huge. Sometimes I feel arrogant with that. Sometimes I look at that and I go, okay, if I can impact everybody, like, who do I think I am, right? Like, who I can do great things? That's crazy. Believing that I can have some huge impact. But like, it's not arrogance if you believe that everybody is capable of that, which I do. I think that everybody can have some huge impact. When that impact is going to be seen and how it's going to be seen and if it will ever be acknowledged, I don't know. But you can have a huge impact. It's interesting looking at the history of like a city and learning that, oh, this person did this thing, which led to this policy, which led to this, which led to this, and then now this is what has happened. If you want to believe in the impact of an individual, look at the impact that one bad person can have on a community, right? Like, one, look at the litter in your neighborhood and just go, wow, that's like three people doing that, because it is. It's not everybody. Most people are not littering. Like, sometimes something falls out of your car or something, or like sometimes the random citizen accidentally litters and then that builds up. But in my neighborhood, whenever like I should do this more, I think I've only done like once in the last like 5 or 10 years, but I went around and I cleaned up just like random bottles and stuff, right? I just picked up a bunch of stuff and I got a ton of it. And I noticed that it's the same stuff in the same general spots, same brand, same everything. I'm like, this is like two people doing this, right? But they're having this huge negative impact on the world around them, right? There's a positive version of that. Because if one person goes around and cleans that stuff up once a month, you're having a huge positive impact. And you can go, oh, well, you're just canceling out somebody's negative. Okay, whatever. You're canceling out like five people's negative impact with your effort. But in the same way, if you go and you try to build up a community, if you try to help other people in an authentic way, I don't know how to put, like, if you do things that you know are useful or positive or whatever, it'll just kind of end up helping other people. I think that's what it is. I don't think you try to help other people, really. I think you do things that you know are good, and it ends up helping eventually. And will you ever see that? I don't know. But I just think this is such a weird thing to try to put into words, and I'm trying to figure it out. But I think that the easiest thing for a creative person to fall into, one of the easiest traps for a creative person to fall into, is thinking that they can't do anything significant, thinking like, oh, I'll never be as big as this person, I'll never be as famous, I'll never be as rich, I'll never be as this, that, or the other. But what you will do is you'll have a positive impact that echoes through the years without you ever even realizing or seeing it, right? Maybe you make some cool statue and it ends up in a thrift store, and then somebody buys it for their mother, and then their mother absolutely loves it, and then it's like a family thing, and then it gets passed down to that person's grandchildren. You don't know. And then maybe that grandchild sees that one day and it makes them happy in a moment of pain and suffering. When you create cool stuff, good things happen. That's what I'm trying to say. And you just might not see it, and you just have to accept that. You can't track every positive impact that your actions have. It's not possible. So just do things that you know are not bad. And then know that you are doing something good for the world. Know that you are helping people. Know that somebody is benefiting from the stuff that you are creating. As long as you're doing it in like a good way. I don't know how else to put that. There's something there that's like, we kind of know, right? Like, you kind of know if you're doing something that's just like, oh, I'm just, that's not good, I shouldn't be doing that, versus, oh, this is good. I'm helping. I'm building people up, or I'm making something beautiful and impactful. That's my thing. Like, my whole thing is I want to create cool stuff that other people really like, and I want to inspire other people to create cool stuff for the sake of creating cool stuff. Like, I want people to make things. I want to make things, and I want other people to make things if that's what they want to do. And if it's not what they want to do, then I want them to appreciate and support the making of things, because it's important. It's how do we move forward? We create things. I'm going on a thing again. It's so easy to undervalue. It's so easy to ignore. It's so easy to look at creative work and go, oh, they're just thinking and writing things down. Or, oh, they're just playing with paints. And because they enjoy it, it's not valuable. Joy is valuable. What are you talking about? Just being a person who enjoys what they're doing is valuable. Oh. Okay. That's that rant. I don't know how we ended up there, but that's where we ended up. Let's go ahead and wrap this episode up. All right, I got two questions that I came up with. One that I just threw down because I was like, yeah, you know what? Let's do one about the crazy rant I just went on. And then another one that I had from when we were talking about Stardew Valley. First question is, how can you make your development more sustainable? Right? That's the whole planning thing and the whole Stardew thing and like figuring out, you know, oh, am I overdoing it? Am I watering too many plants every day? How can you make your development more sustainable? I think I have to experiment with work cycles and this whole rest thing. And I think I just have to figure out how to actually, let myself rest mentally a little bit and like let go a little bit. So that's my answer to that. And then the other one is, what cool stuff do you want to share with the world? What cool stuff do you want to make? How do you want to support the world around you? Right? What do you want to contribute? Because it feels good and it's exciting. And, you know, do it. That's what I've got. Just do it. And then my tip for this week is to just do your thing. Right. I don't have some technical tip this week. I feel like we should just do what we're going to do. And by the way, because this thought occurred to me, if your creative work is, and I, you know, we just talked about Stardew Valley for the entire episode. If your creative work is horrific and violent and grotesque and gruesome and like, dark and just like, great, do it, make it. That doesn't mean it's bad. That does not mean that it is negative for the world. I know some people are going to be out there and be like, oh no, that's making the world a worse place. No, it's not. Look at the movie Alien, right? That is gnarly, and that made the world a better place. I like anything that's, yeah, it's great. Get after it. Like, If you have an aesthetic that is really like perceived as negative, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means that it can look pretty intense, right? There's so much subtlety in creativity and like what is good and bad and ethics and morality and whatever. I think if you are creating stuff that you think is genuinely interesting, you're probably doing something that positive for the world around you. You know, that's where I'm at. The other tip for this week is to listen to Vienna by Billy Joel. Vienna by Billy Joel, and enjoy those lyrics. Those are good for like inspiring you to like take a breather a little bit. It really speaks to me right now with where I'm at. That's everything that I have for you. I went longer than I expected, but that's what happens sometimes. I was excited. I was passionate. That's what it is. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And I will see you in the next one. Until then, get out there, make some stuff, have fun with it, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.